Well, it certainly is an honor to be bringing you the Word of God one more time. I want you all to know that I miss you, and I love you all, and I hope you know that. Now, we gather here tonight in the presence of God to see the love that He has for us. And we're going to see His steadfast love for us in our passage tonight, which is Mark 6, verses 30 through 44. This is the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And we see God's steadfast love for us because we see God's provision. The focus of this passage is God's provision for His people. Now, to see this and to understand this, we need to look at three things. We need to look at the dilemma in this passage, the solution in this passage, and the command for us in this passage. So as we read this narrative, let's look at those things. The dilemma, the solution, and the command. Let's now hear the word of our Heavenly Father. The apostles returned to Jesus and told Him all that they had done and taught. And He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them. And they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When He went ashore, He saw a great crowd, and He had compassion on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, His disciples came to Him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But He answered them, You give them something to eat." And they said to Him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And He said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then He commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, He looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And He divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Let us now go to God, our Heavenly Father, who desires to feed us through His word. Let's go to Him in prayer.
Abba, Father, You are our safety and security. Lord, I love these people because You love these people. So I ask, Lord, that You feed them. From Your steadfast love, feed them by Your word. Lord, renew our strength. Renew our spirit. Turn our eyes towards You using these words. Send Your Holy Spirit upon us that we may be focused on You and love You and adore You just as You have loved and adored us. Just as You have called us beloved, Lord, let us call You our beloved. For You love us, Lord. So So let us love one another as you have loved us. Lord, illuminate this passage that we may see your love through your provision, through Christ. Lord, send your Holy Spirit upon us now to give us understanding, to give us ears to hear, and a heart that desires you and your church. Teach us great things this evening. Lord, may this passage be opened up through your words, not mine. Make my words your words. May this be an offering of love to you, Lord. Through it, Lord, may you feed your sheep. Through this passage, Lord, feed your sheep. Feed your people. Father, I ask all these things in the name of Jesus. I ask all these things in your name, Jesus. For you love us. And you gave yourself for us. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Are you hungry? Now, you probably aren't right now because you just had dinner. But remember the last time that you were hungry. I mean, really hungry. Your stomach starts to rumble and grumble. It begins to tighten and shrink, and you just feel uncomfortable. You feel weak and tired, and you have very little energy. We don't like to feel hungry. In fact, we hate feeling hungry so much that we invented a word to describe how we really feel about being hungry. That word is hangry. When we're hungry, we're not just hungry. We're angry. We don't like to feel hunger. It's not a very pleasant thing to feel. Instead of feeling hungry, we love to feel full. We love to have our stomachs full. Because when we're full, we feel satisfied and comfortable. Now, there are many kinds of hunger. There's a physical hunger, which we just talked about. But there's also the emotional hunger. Wanting to be loved and love. Wanting our sorrow to be turned into joy. There's also the spiritual hunger, feeling the absence of God and seeking Him, seeking His presence. So there's the physical hunger, there's the emotional hunger, and there's also spiritual hunger. Now, what this passage teaches us tonight, what the feeding of the 5,000 teaches us, is that only Jesus, only God, can satisfy our hunger. This passage demonstrates that God's miraculous power feeds hungry people through Jesus. This passage shows us that Jesus alone can satisfy our hunger. Therefore, we are to put our trust in Him. Put our trust in Him for all our needs and seek Him out. So, in order to see this, let us first look at the dilemma in this passage. We see this dilemma in verse 35, where it says, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy them something to eat." The dilemma here is that it's grown late. It's dinner time. And there's a vast crowd gathered around Jesus and his disciples. And they're hungry. But the dilemma is much worse than that. They're in the wilderness. They're in the desert. These people are hungry and they're in a desolate place. Think about it this way. You've driven through Charlotte, and you've seen all the housing developments and all the apartment complexes. And one thing that you may notice about these housing complexes and apartments is that they're often close to a grocery store, a food market, maybe a Harris Teeter or a Publix or a Sprout. And here's the situation for the crowd in Mark. Imagine if you took all these housing developments, all these apartment complexes, and you put them in the middle of nowhere, where there was no food source, where there was no supermarket. You have the population of these housing developments and apartment complexes and no food source. And that's what the dilemma is here in Mark, is you have a lot of people and no food source. You have a vast population and no way to feed them. The dilemma is a large crowd and no food. This would be like having Thanksgiving without the turkey and the mashed potatoes and the green beans and the cranberry sauce. You have to feed your whole family and you have nothing to feed them with. So the dilemma is large crowd, no food. Yet there is a solution in this passage, and the solution is Jesus himself. Throughout this passage, we see Christ's desire to provide for these people. We see it right off the bat. We see it at the very beginning. His first desire is to provide for his disciples. Look again with me at verses 30 to 31, which says this, which describes the apostles' situation. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. So here we learn that the disciples have been busy. They've been working hard. They've been teaching people. And earlier in Mark 6, 12 through 13, we see that they've been doing this for a while. It says this, "They went out and proclaimed that the people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed many with oil who were sick and healed them." So the disciples have been ministering to people. They've been working hard. And their desire is to rest. They're tired. You know what it's like to come back from a hard day of work and want to just sit down on the couch and unwind. Well, here the disciples just want to come back home and sit down on the couch and unwind. They want to rest and be refreshed. And Jesus knows this. We get a glimpse into Jesus' heart. He knows that they've been working hard, and he knows that they are hungry for rest. And he wants to give them rest. He wants to give them basically a little miniature vacation. And so he tells them, "Let us go to a desolate place where there are no large crowds and just rest." What Christ shows us here is that God is not a harsh taskmaster who drives his servants to work until they're sick and sore, black and blue. No, God instead is our beloved friend and Father who wants us to work hard but also cares for our well-being and our needs. So are you tired? Are you hungry for rest? Are you stressed out because of work or because of school? You have a lot of work to do, don't you? And all of that, but you've spent the last months doing this work, laboring in quarantine, under a pandemic. You've been laboring while you've been separated from friends and family. You've been cut off from your people. So you must be tired. You must be tired of feeling afraid. You must be tired of feeling lonely. You must be tired of feeling uncertainty. And you might even just be tired of feeling bored. So let me ask you again, are you tired? Are you hungry for rest? Then go and rest with Jesus. Lay down your burdens before him. Unwind your hearts before him in prayer. Turn to Jesus for all your needs. Look to God for your provision, because God will provide. The Father loves you, and he has provided you for all your needs through Jesus Christ, his Son, his living Word. He feeds you through the living Word, through the Scriptures, through Christ. God feeds you. God provides. And the Apostle Paul knew this. And this is why Paul is able to say in Philippians 4, 11 through 13, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." You know what's significant about this passage? Paul's in prison while he's writing this. Yet even from prison, Paul is saying that he is content, that he is satisfied, and this is because he knows that God is with him. And he knows that God's word is with him, that Christ dwells with him through the Holy Spirit, that God provides for him. So feed on God's word. Feed on Christ. Feed on the Scriptures, because the Scriptures point to Christ. Read and remember all that God has done for us, how he's provided for his people in the past, because that will help us to understand how he provides for us now, in the present, and even in the future, as we look to the coming of new heavens and new earth, where we will experience the fullness of the rest which he's given us, the full Sabbath, the completed Sabbath. But again, know that he provides for you even now. For the word of God is living and active. And here's something that can help you remember this. Before you eat your meals, say a blessing and thank God for the food before you. Because every meal is a reminder of God's provision. It's a reminder that he's providing for your daily bread. And that reminder is a reminder of his deep love for you. And it's a reminder that God desires to give you rest. Now, Jesus also has a desire to provide for the crowd. Not only does he has a desire to provide for his apostles, but he has a desire to provide for his crowd. This is seen in the passage in verse 34, where we read, "Then he went ashore, and he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd." The Greek word used here for compassion is spongalizomai. And this word means to have deep pity or compassion because of the current condition or circumstance. So Jesus here is having pity and compassion because of the current circumstance and condition of the people around him. And that's a good reminder of the fact that he has pity and compassion on our condition, on our weakness. And this Christ's compassion is further drawn out by our understanding of our word compassion, of the English word compassion, which means to suffer with. Passion means to suffer, but compassion means to suffer with. Jesus feels this pity and compassion in his heart, deeply in his heart. He is deeply moved by the situation of the crowd in this passage. And not only that, but he is suffering with the crowd. He understands their distress. He understands their hunger. He understands their condition. He understands the distress and their sorrow and their weariness. And just like he did then, just like he understood their situation then, he understands our situation now. Jesus has compassion on us. And this reminds us of what the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 4:15, where he says, "For we do not have a great high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness." Jesus understands our suffering. Because he understands it, he knows how to comfort us. Now notice what troubles Jesus in this passage is that the crowd in this passage are like sheep without a shepherd. They're leaderless. They have no one to provide for them. They have no one to teach them. And that's why they came to Jesus in the first place. They ran to Jesus because they wanted to hear his word. They ran to Jesus because they wanted him to teach them. And that's what Jesus does. He teaches them. He provides for their need, which was spiritual. They needed to hear the word of God, and so he brought the word of God to them. Because again, he is the word of God. And so before he fed them physically, he feeds them spiritually. And this is a good reminder that Christ understands our needs to the deepest degree. He understands our deepest needs. God completely knows and understands all our needs. He knows our needs better than we know our needs. And this is a great comfort to us because that means he can provide for us completely. This is what the miracle of the 5,000 shows us, that God completely provides for his people completely. Look at the miracle again. Let's look at verse 41 to 42. "And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the fish among them all, and they all ate, and were all satisfied." What Jesus does is miraculous. Not only does he take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feed 5,000 people, but he completely satisfies them. He provides for them completely. The people in this passage are lacking nothing. They're full and they're satisfied. And the heart of the miracle in this passage is that the people were fed. And they were fed well. They were fed completely. Now our focus in this passage should not be drawn to the miracle itself. Instead, it should be drawn to the miracle maker, the miracle worker. It should be drawn to the source of this miracle, which is Jesus himself. This miracle shows us, it highlights for us, our actual need, which is Christ, who is Emmanuel, who is God with us. This passage shows us our need to dwell in God's presence, to be with God, so that we may be loved by him and love him in return. It points us to the only one who can satisfy all our needs and our hunger, and that is Jesus himself, because Christ alone can take away our sins and reconcile us to God. Christ alone can mend our relationship with God so that we can come before God into his holy presence and be loved by him and love him in return. No longer is God hateful towards us who were once his enemies, though now God loves us as his children. He is our Father and we are his children. And he does this through Christ. God has provided for us. He has filled us and completed us. And he has done this through Christ and Christ alone. Remember what Jesus says in John 6:36. He shows us that he alone can feed us. And he shows us this by saying, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall not thirst." And he goes on to say in John 6:41 through 51, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that One may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Again, Christ is our provision. Christ's cross is our ultimate provision. And here in this passage, Christ reminds us of Exodus 16, where God provided for his people by sending the manna from heaven. This was an act of God's provision for his people in great need. But Jesus is using Exodus 16 to show us that he is the Father's ultimate act of provision. Christ is the manna from heaven. And this is the point Mark is making in this passage. This is what he's pointing to. He's pointing towards our need for Christ. He's pointing to Jesus as God's ultimate act of provision. His focus is on Christ. And our focus during all our needs should be on God. Just as God provided for his people in Exodus, he's providing for us now through Christ. Christ's redeeming work, but also Christ as our king, our ruler, who is sovereign over all our situations. So God's ultimate provision is Jesus. God's ultimate provision is himself. And this was proven on the cross, where Jesus saved sinners by taking away their sin and giving them his holiness. So are you hungry? Go to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Seek Christ out. He wants to provide for you because he loves you. He deeply loves you. Now there's a command for us in this passage. And we see this command when Jesus gives his disciple a command in this passage. And it's important to notice that this command is to his disciples, not his apostles. You see, all apostles are disciples, but not all disciples are apostles. The apostles are the followers of Jesus, like Peter, James, and John, who were given the special authority from Jesus to lead the early church. However, a disciple is anyone who follows Christ, who believes in Jesus and trusts in Jesus for their salvation. So this command isn't just for the disciples in this passage. This command is for us also. So what is the command? We find this command in verse 37. Where after the disciples tell Jesus to send the crowd away, Christ responds by saying, You give them something to eat. And we see this command fulfilled in verse 41. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up, said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. Jesus is the provision. Jesus is the ultimate source of provision. God provides, and one of his favorite ways to provide for people is through his disciples. We see in this passage that it was the disciples who distributed the bread among the crowd. Jesus' church, Jesus' disciples, Jesus' people are the instruments of God's provision. Because we have God's word, we know the gospel. So we can provide for people spiritually. But we also have gifts and resources which God has given us. And we can use those also to provide for people's physical needs. And one of the best things that God has given us is our time. People in this day and age tend to be often very lonely. And this is seen in the rise of depression among people. People can tend to be very lonely, and they need good friends and companions. And who make better friends and companions than God's people? So everyone among us, from the youngest to the oldest, from the least to the greatest, is called to be agents of God's word. By speaking God's word, and live in God's word. Now, not everyone is called to pastoral ministry. Everyone is called to ministry, but everyone is not called to pastoral ministry. We are called to be ministers. We are called to be ministers to the hurting people around us. We are called to distribute the bread, to distribute God's word. We are called to lead people to the bread of life, to lead people to Christ. We are called to distribute Christ's gospel, to teach people the gospel, and to live out the gospel. Because there is a truth. There is a horrible truth, and that horrible truth is that we live in a fallen world. And everyone is touched by the cold fingers of sin, death, and the devil. The only thing that can bring life, that can bring rest and restoration is God's word, is Jesus. For it's through him that the Father provides. We're called to ministry, every one of us. And ministry, simply put, is obeying the great commandments, which all the law and all the prophets rest on. Ministry is seeking to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's seeking to minister to ourselves, reminding ourselves of the gospel, letting the Holy Spirit work in our hearts and minister to us, and sharing that ministry, that love, that gospel with other people. It is loving God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and it's loving our neighbor as ourselves. That's what ministry is. We as Christians are called to ministry because everyone needs to be ministered to. Everyone is hungry for God's presence, whether they know it or not. And everyone is hurting because of sin. You need to be ministered to because you hunger for God's presence and desire to seek God. But you have also felt the effects of sin. You have been hurt by sin, by your own sin and the sin of others. And you feel the guilt of sin. You feel the effects of sin. You feel the guilt and the fear that it produces. But remember that all the people around you feel these effects too. Your friend and your foe. Your family members and the strangers among you are hungry for God and hurting because of sin. So like Christ, we are called to have compassion. We are called to suffer with people in their condition, in their situations. We are to suffer with those who God has put into our lives. We are to share in people's joy, but we're also to share in people's sorrow. One of the hymns I grew up with is called the Servant Song. And it has often helped shape my understanding of what a Christian is, who a Christian is, and what a Christian is called to do. And the first verse in this hymn says this: "Will you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too." And the third verse says, "I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow." Until we've seen this journey through, as Christians, we're called to love. We're called to love selflessly as servant leaders, using all that we have, all that God has given us, to encourage and edify others, to build others up, whether that's our intelligence, our money, material wealth. We're to use these things, not to build ourselves up, but to build others up when we can. To minister to others. To love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. To love our neighbors as ourselves. We're to love Christ. A Christian is a lover of Christ. Not only is he a lover of Christ, he's a lover for Christ. He loves others as others. He loves as Christ loves him. So we're called to love boldly. We're called to love fiercely. In his poem, Love's as Warm as Tears, C.S. Lewis writes this: Love's as fierce as fire. Love is fire, laughing when denied. We're called to love ferociously, with a steadfast love that imitates God's steadfast love for us. We're called to love those who don't love us, who don't love us in return. We're called to love those who need to be loved. We're not called to love those who deserve to be loved. We're called to love those who need to be loved. Because again, people are hurting and hungry, and we are called to minister to them. We have the best example of this deep, ferocious, steadfast love in Christ's love for us. Christ was despised and he was rejected. He was a man of grief and acquainted with sorrows. At the cross, he was abandoned and forsaken by all those he loved. He was denied and he was rejected by his friends and family. We can often deny Christ. We deny Christ. We reject Christ when we sin. So Christ had every right to get off the cross. He had every right to say, "You're not worth it. I'm done." He had every right to throw in the towel, but that's not what Jesus did. He stayed on the cross. He endured the cross for you and for me. He endured the cross for the sake of his steadfast love for us. Even though we were guilty of denying him and rejecting him, he loved us. And we are called to love with that same love. We're called to deeply love him as he loves us. We're called to deeply love others as God has loved us. And we're called to deeply love one another, those who are in this congregation, passionately and deeply as God has loved us. And using the things which we have to support and encourage one another. And we're called to love our neighbor as God has loved us. By using our time, using everything that we have for God's glory. So let us deeply love God, believers, and unbelievers. Let us deeply love unbelievers and desire their salvation. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.